get out of your company as the visionary. Once you have the vision, right? And you're like, this, I could do this and put these together and make create market value right here. And this is how the customer wins. And this is how we win and make money, right? Once you have that done, I really am believing more and more, the best thing you can do is get out of the way, right? Find the people, hire the right people, pay the price they're asking, get to them. That shortens the distance to success.
Finally, after 5 years of product failures, my 35th offer actually worked. And my next 55 products generated over $11 million in sales in just 4 years. But after seeing the flaws in my baby business, I decided to shut it all down and restart from scratch, as entrepreneurs do. Follow me and the other capitalist pig-loving entrepreneurs as I continue my journey to $100 million in sales. I'm your host, Steve J. Larson, and welcome to Season 2 of Sales Funnel Radio.
Hello, hello. Welcome to another episode of Sales Funnel Radio. I'm actually in Alaska right now. I am in Ketchikan. I keep calling it ketchup can. I'm in Ketchikan, Alaska. This is the third year in a row that I've done this trip. And I got to tell you, it's been one of my favorite things to look forward to all year. I am not really a fisherman, I would say. This is really the only fishing I would say that I do or have done. I mean, when I was a teenager, I did not lots of fishing. I didn't do that much fishing, but I was in Boy Scouts. I'm an Eagle Scout. I was in Boy Scouts and all that stuff. And just like the kind of organic times you fish, that's about the most I've done. That's about as much as I've done, you know? It's certainly not something where I'm like, I can't wait to go fish this weekend. Like, that's not what I do usually for my style of relaxation. But this trip, though, has been extremely impactful for me. The first year I came up and did this, this is my third time right now. So it was 2 years ago. So 2 years ago is my first time doing this. And I remember it's interesting to see how I reacted to the situation. I'm kind of waltzing around. It's a literal rainforest. We're actually on an island. That's where we stay with a staff here. And, they cook and clean and actually clean all the fish. They flash freeze it and prep it so we can ship it on home and stuff too, which is great. But so I'm just kind of waltzing around. It's drizzling around a little bit right now, but it's interesting that 2 years ago when I first came up, not just how different of a person I was, how different of a place I was in business. I was 2 years ago consistently breaking away to go check on some work, or like, oh man, I got to do like a million podcast episodes, I got to do this. That was very much chained to the business, right? And if you're a new entrepreneur, you probably know that feeling now. If you're seasoned, you'd certainly know that feeling, but we pretty much all experience it. And it's this feeling of being chained to the company where key decisions that pop up in the day-to-day of just what it means to be run whatever your company you do, whatever business you do, right? Those key decisions cannot move forward or be answered without your input, right? And that's a problem. I didn't realize 2 years ago how much I was still involved in the business, first off. And then second off, I didn't understand how much I was still the company. I didn't know, right? If you can't take a week off and your thing's still not that it has to like explode, but even just like do the day to day, it really means that you are the company. You are the business. You don't have one. You're the company. It's all in your head. And I remember that first year, again, this 2 years ago, almost to the week, actually 2 years ago. And I was making a podcast episode almost in the exact same spot that I'm standing right now. And I remember realizing just this super key lesson and how much I wanted to. I made this commitment to myself. I was like, okay, the next time that I come and do this trip, it's going to be a little bit different. And I wasn't like consistently always breaking away, but I mean, I was checking my computer and I was getting, there was so much stuff that I was doing, and the internet here is not awesome, which is a blessing, right? It can be a little bit more present and everything. But I didn't fix it. It's interesting because, so that was 2 years ago. Last year, just 1 year ago, I actually wasn't really in any really better of a spot in terms of the company itself. I was kind of in the same spot, to be totally frank. In fact, I was fulfilling on and running a whole challenge while in Alaska. And so people would be getting up and early and fishing and doing all stuff and work, which is super fun. I really like it. My type of vacation, I have two types. One is the nothing kind where I just want to sit on a beach You know, the other kind is where I want like some kind of like thing to conquer, some aggression piece, some kind of, you know, something to, I'm going to hike a mountain or go backpacking or fish for a week and get up early. And you know what I'm saying? And go super hard. I think we literally have caught, I don't know, 150 pounds of meat is what we're bringing back from just a week. I mean, it's a lot of fish, a lot of salmon. We're probably going to buy another freezer just to store it all. But it's what was fascinating is 1 year ago, to just be brutally honest with myself and realize, wow, my business model has updated, but I'm still the business. I'm still the company. What's so different and what's so unique, and this is probably a shorter episode here, but what's so unique about this, I am so proud to say, I did not even bring my laptop. I didn't even bring my computer. And I don't know that I've done any work. In fact, there were multiple temptations. And I'm so glad I said no. I'm so glad that I stopped. I'm so glad that I just didn't even bring it, you know? And instead of like focusing on the, if I don't get this done, then that, or what if I don't get this here, then that, there are processes that are actually physically documented for other people to follow, right? There are SOPs for people to follow. There are meetings that happened this week without us, right? Without Marley and I. There's so much, like, what's been very interesting is not only to see like, oh my gosh, this is finally working. This is so exciting. I can't wait. Like, yes, finally, woo, you know, pumped. But what it's allowed to happen has been equally exciting. I've been able to be much more strategic instead of just in the tactical day-to-day stuff. The conversations that I have, like this isn't much of a networking trip as it is for fun. You know, usually it's the evening time. We all kind of get together and just chat a little bit. In fact, I'm thinking about maybe doing that again this next year. If y'all are interested in this trip, space is literally limited, but that's what we're thinking about. I don't know. We're just toying with it. We don't know yet. But what's been fascinating is because I've not been so attached to the business, because thankfully cell phone service sucks and the internet is not awesome, not only have I been able to play full out more, which I have desperately needed, I have been able to have more strategic style thoughts and conversations and streams of thought. And when you're sitting there and there's not a fish on your line and you're thinking, you're like, huh, interesting. What about this? What about that? I wonder if I could do this. One of these here, one of those there, you know, and it's come to my, you know, attention that not only is that cool because it's a signal that I'm heading in the right direction with this and the business part of business, the business building piece, where you're building together the systems and the processes and the structures and all that stuff. Not only is that working, but me coming and doing this easily is the best thing I could have done for the business. I'm coming back. I know it's today's Saturday right now as I make this, but I know as I come back and I'm going back into work on Monday, not only do I have a fresh brain, the good break, I also have a fresh perspective. And I'm like, oh, okay, this makes sense. Let's go here. Let's go there. Let's do that over here, right? And so it's made me realize that how much most of us, I'm not going to speak for everybody, but a lot of us hold our company back by holding on to it. Meaning by not drawing out your processes and physically drawing them. First, this happens, then this happens. In this department, right, in this function and fulfillment, these are the things, this is what it looks like to fulfill in our business, right? And if you don't have that written out, it really means that you're probably fulfilling different for every single customer, right? That's tough. That's very hard to scale if you literally are treating every single customer different. We had somebody who were just like, hey, could you make this very unique exception in the contract? And I put my foot down and said, no, you're going to change your model. It's working. We're killing it.
Hey, I hope you're enjoying the episode. Let me interrupt for just 1 minute here. One time I was speaking on the stage at this event, this guy picked up a microphone and he said, Steve, when do Facebook ads begin paying off? And I remember looking confused and just asking back, like, what do you mean? He repeated the question and said, well, we've been spending a lot of money on Facebook ads for a long time now, and we're just wondering when this begins to all pay off, when we actually start making money from the ad. I said, wait, Facebook ads are not an investment. They don't pay off someday. This is direct response marketing. So if we don't get a payoff within the first few days, we turn off the ads. How much money have you spent? I will never forget the look at this guy's face as he realized he had the completely wrong mindset about ads. And he said, we've spent over $250,000 without any return on ads at all. My stomach fell out of my body. Look, this is direct response marketing, meaning we measure the direct response of our marketing. That's why ads are the holy grail of marketing. They're not an investment that pays off someday, sorry colleges, because every dollar spent on ads should return with another dollar very soon. That's what my good friend John Parks and I are doing the Chief Ads Officer Workshop on May 15th through the 17th. John has spent over $150 million in Facebook ads profitably and managed the ads accounts for some of the biggest names out there. John is going to take 50 business owners through his unique Facebook ads process while you follow along. At the end, you're going to have your own account running. I simply asked John to show us what's working best today in the ads world right now. John told me that one of the hardest parts of running ads today is finding the right person to do it. Traditional org charts don't really have a spot for the ad buyer, so this workshop will help you install a new role, whether in-house or if you go higher, the new role of Chief Ads Officer inside your business. This workshop is both for those who want to learn ads themselves or for those who want to learn to communicate with their media buyer better. The workshop is only happening one time in person in my event studio in Boise, Idaho, May 15th through the 17th, and all the details are at chiefadsofficer.com. Go to chiefadsofficer.com right now to save your seat and get more details. We can't wait to see you there. Let's get back to the episode.
Right, meaning our clients are killing it. It's so fun. The success rate is monstrous with what we're doing. It's been so fun to see it, especially with the onset of things like recession coming on and political psycho, right? Just like the psychoness, all the crazy that's going down right now. How amazing it's been to see all this stuff happen. But I've never in my entrepreneurial life been in a time where I have been so out of the day-to-day, but in it from a strategic and development and biz dev standpoint. And my only point in this podcast episode, I wasn't even going to do it. I'm so tired. I'm so tired. In the good kind of tired. Satisfied tired. But the only reason I'm bringing this up is because that's been the biggest thing that I want to hand off to you, the listener. Get out of your company. Once you have, as the visionary, once you have the vision, right? And you're like, this, I could do this and put these together and make create market value right here. And this is how the customer wins. And this is how we win and make money, right? Once you have that done, I really am believing more and more. The best thing you can do is get out of the way, right? Find the people, hire the right people, pay the price they're asking, get to them. That shortens the distance to success in such a dramatic fashion. I look back at some of the other things that I've done. I mean, y'all know that I did. Y'all know my story. I look back at some of the things I've done and realized I was probably the greatest barrier to our own success on many occasions. Not on purpose. Of course, not on purpose. But simply because I was not allowing for other people to come on in and take over certain day-to-day things for me. People asking. And it's not out of me being a control freak, not out of me trying to, you know, weigh in on every single decision. Not that at all. It has been more that I just didn't know. And so there's the marketing side. Make your message, make your offer, build the sales funnel. What's the launch, right? Do you got hooks? Where's the traffic source? All that stuff. Yes, absolutely. Super involved in that stuff. But with the intent and expectation to exit it as fast as humanly possible and send it off to somebody else who wants the work from you and needs to impress you in order to keep you as a client. I mean, it's been amazing. It's been amazing. And now I'm able to be more strategic. And Marley and I thought about an addition onto the existing business model we have that if we start executing it, not only will add wild more value to the customer, it was one of those moves we were like, holy crap, that would 10x the value of the entire business from an enterprise value perspective. Ooh, why haven't we thought about that before? There's no way I could have seen it. The business and everything was in my face. That makes sense. So I'm really, really, really just happy with where things are going. Not everything's perfect. They're companies. They're never going to be 100% perfect. And I think that's been one of the toughest things is to look at, you know, there's this mirage in our heads as entrepreneurs that we're like, oh man, the mirage is, you know what? I'm going to let go and they're going to someone else is going to come on in, follow the enemy. They're going to jack it up. That's not true. That's not true. That's magic thinking. That's the wrong kind of magical thinking. Right? That's using the power of you being a visionary against yourself. That's turning the cannons on you, right? Don't turn the cannons on you, right? And that's when we take sometimes the visionary mindset and the visionary skill set that we have, which is very unique out in the world. I'm not saying don't throw that away. I'm not saying throw that away. I'm not saying shun that. But a lot of times we you know, at least what I was doing is, you know what? And not to a huge extent, but I know it's one of the fears most of us have. I'm going to turn it over and it's all going to burn. And then I'm going to lose my house and I'm going to die in a gutter. And then, right? And we can kind of magic think in this negative sense. And this is a podcast simply calling that out, warning about it, but also recognizing how explosively fast our company has grown, almost to the equal speed that Marley and I have been able to let go, hand it over to other amazing people, build processes that are taken out of our heads, and then stress testing the structure by going on a week-long trip where we don't interfere with the business. How powerful. We asked everyone to do a time study while we've been gone to see where all the resources are going. Time is the one resource we'll never get back, right? So why not measure it? So everyone's doing this time study right now. And it has nothing to do with being like, oh, this big brother, I'm going to look over your shoulder the whole way. You better be working 24/7. It's not like that at all. Instead, what it's doing is showing where the manpower is, where the stress is, where the bad things are, and where the issues are. How it is that we can. I've been more and more believing also that if there's ever a problem that pops up in the company, it's not really. I'm not going to say ever, but rarely is it truly a people problem. Almost every time it is a processes problem. It is the lack of understanding a process. That's what messes up. And so how beautiful that there will definitely be something that is broken that we find out about when we get back on Monday. How amazing. How much more will the future be liberated because something probably broke while we were gone? Who cares? Good. Issues are good. Right. And so that has been very liberating and freeing for me to go see and feel and understand. And so now I can travel places and we're not saying, oh, it's fine if everything fails. I'm not saying that at all. But you can expose the stress fractures in the foundation of your business by getting out of the way. Right. You can grow the company faster by getting things out of your head and not being the business yourself by getting out of the way. Get out of the way. Maybe I'll call that this episode that. Just get out of the way, right? You go, your role is to go do, if you're like, hey, I'm a visionary, your role is to have the vision. Your role is to get out there, have the vision, right? And then hand it off as fast as you can. So we've been handing off tons of stuff. We hand off a lot of lead gen. We hand off a lot of sales stuff. We hand off a lot of like fulfillment things. We hand out, meaning we have this leadership team in place and they're the ones that are managing it. That's what I mean. We've created a whole second tier of leadership and we hand it off. Hand it off to them. Right? And then when things don't go according to plan, it is a processes issue, rarely a people issue if you've hired well, right? So anyway, big lesson, let go. Get out of the way. Go stress test your structures by being willing to let something explode and break, and that's fine. I've noticed the other thing that happens is we've got to be careful to not tie our self-worth and identity into the success of our companies. And once you can do that, then you can kind of do the things that I'm talking about and you enter this amazing spot where now I feel like there's this really powerful kind of symbiotic relationship, you know, to kind of personify the business, if you will. It's a really powerful relationship that I have with our business now where I'm like, okay, this is just something that we're just growing slowly over time. So anyway, I'm back over here with people now, but you guys are amazing. Thanks for listening. Appreciate you guys. And if you would be so kind to rate and review the podcast itself, I would appreciate that. And I'm really excited for the next style of things that are going to be talked about and shown here. I want to go a little bit deeper into specific industry types and funnels here soon. I've got some cool things planned, but anyway, you guys are awesome. Get out of the way of your own company. Go stress test it. And we'll talk to you later. Bye.
Everyone who's ever built a sales funnel knows that it's a very powerful skill set, but that you're also dead in the water if you can't control traffic, especially your own traffic. The problem with most marketers is they think in terms of traffic, though, instead of leads, and you should be thinking about leads. An opt-in is not a lead, right? When someone is a lead, they have purchase intent, they have intent to learn about the product on purpose. They know that that's why they're moving forward. So a simple opt-in is not a product lead, yeah? So how do you turn traffic into leads? Is there a way to automate lead gen strategies without massive paid ad budgets or content budgets? And regardless of the offer or price point, just using the internet. Why, yes, yes, there is. Marley Jackson and I did an event called Lead Machine Live teaching exactly this and these strategies. And you can go check it out and watch it at leadmachinelive.com. Mastering organic content for leads, not views, comments, or subscribers, gives you control of everything pre-funnel, pre-page one. Go learn our four-part lead machine at leadmachinelive.com, and you can watch the on-demand event replay right now.